I'm joined now with Ken Erickson. He's the Senior Vice President and Head of Client Advisory and Development and Energy and Transportation and Policy. That's a handful for IHS Market. And Ken, I want to ask you, because you have quite a long history when it comes to transportation and transportation topics, especially having history being an international longshoreman. So let's talk about IDA. What are you hearing from your contacts down there, especially with the lower Mississippi, with how things are going with restoring infrastructure and power?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Betsy. And with IDA and the lower Mississippi River region, it was really completely devastated in a lot of areas. And we're starting to see recovery efforts. A couple things. One, late Friday night, the U.S. Coast Guard reopened the full stretch of the Mississippi River from the Gulf of Mexico to Baton Rouge for deep draft vessels. Two, that was initially daylight only that they could move, but now they've since, just a short while ago, they lifted that. Now there's 24 access for deep draft vessels. And the Army Corps engineers conducted their own survey of the river channel, the shipping navigation channels, and all of those are clear, no obstructions, or if there were, they were removed out of the way or not a problem. They're marked and all is safe that way. Barge operators are busily assessing just how many barges need repair work, if any, and then assessing how much cargo may have been damaged in those barges. And right now, you've got a lot of equipment just sitting. There's 10 barge export elevators on the lower Mississippi River, not including midstream loaders. And with 10 of those that handle over 50 to 60% of the U.S. exports of core of grains and soybeans, that's a lot of capacity that doing nothing for a big program that goes through there for the United States. And so it's important that we see this electricity come back on. And once it does, it's going to be important to make sure that they got the crews ready to go, because a lot of people, their homes were just decimated and or they're without power. They can't get out of their houses even because there's so many down power lines. So right now it's getting to be the infrastructures around the electricity, the power lines, power poles. That's the most critical thing at the moment. Otherwise, we have one export elevator, Cargill Reserve, that is we took a pretty hard hit, and it's going to be down for several months. And it might be just that it's one of the barge legs, and they may have another barge leg that's operable. Maybe they can still run the ship belts to the ship. They've got two berths there, so maybe it won't be as devastating as first looked. But nonetheless, it'll be down for a while until we can get a better assessment of that.
Really, for a couple of months, you're thinking for that elevator? Wow.
It could be for that one elevator. It was a pretty devastating blow. And it's just hard to look and get parts brought in. And if they need to replace the belts and put up rigging, new steel, there's a lot of things that go into it. And that's going to be a challenge for them. Because, look, in this environment with COVID, with supply chains disrupted, it's even exasperated now with Hurricane Ida's effect, that it's just going to be harder and more difficult to get the necessary equipment and secure it and bring it into place here. Those are a number of challenges around there.
You stole my next question, because I was going to ask you, power is being restored rather, but not necessarily to all the elevators. So that's kind of an interesting concept there. But when you talk about, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but when it comes to Mississippi River volume, CHS is what, 8 to 10%, Cargill might be 12 to 15%. I think you've said in past interviews. So how much of a disruption is this if elevators are down for weeks or perhaps months with trying to shift grain around, especially as we come towards key months for U.S. soybean exports?
It's going to be very important. Right now, we're in a bit of a lull. We're in transition from old crop to new crop. And the exports in the last few weeks have been really weak through the U.S. Center Gulf and really for the United States overall. But we're at the point where there's a lot of equipment in the Gulf that had grain in the barges that are just sitting there, hoping to keep condition well and then be able to get to the elevators. The reality is we're a month away from corn and soybean exports really taking off and here in the United States. And when we start to see peak movements want to take place, and with the disruption of equipment out of position, with folks not putting in purchases for grain right now because on the global market, the global buyers halting the need to buy a forward that much because they're just uncertain how much when the Center Gulf will be open. So it's so important that the Center Gulf gets re-energized, so to speak, and get electricity back because it's being held up. Because if we have to keep holding up equipment that can't get back up river, boy, we can't get it down southbound. But at the same time, you just need to make sure you have equipment in position up north as harvest starts to really take off here. And we're seeing that in the barge freight rates where they've really surged quite a bit in the last week. Markets because there's a signal to get equipment positioned where it needs to be.
I was going to say, I have so many follow-up questions, but with the world market, you said your contacts are saying that they're probably not going to budge on really buying right now until they have more certainty with the Gulf, right?
That's correct. That's right.
When we talk about shuffling grain around, is it fairly easy to go to the PNW or Port of Houston with this, or is that difficult to do?
There's some challenges there because if the West Center Gulf, the Mississippi River is handling 50 to 60% of U.S. corn, grain and soybean exports, and that's over 95% of that is moved by barge. So if you think about the arithmetic around one barge, it's about 1,500 to 1,600 short tons of cargo. That could be about 10 to 12 rail cars. When you start doing all that arithmetic, you're just not enough rail capacity in the United States to handle that. And it does take all ports to handle the volume. And there's inevitably 1 week out of the peak export period that every elevator in the United States is loading soybeans onto a ship to go someplace in the world. And so the rail market to the PNW or to the Texas Gulf just cannot handle the sheer volume that the Mississippi River represents. The Texas Gulf handles a lot of wheat, as does the Pacific Northwest, but the Pacific Northwest in total handles about 25%, sometimes a little bit more of U.S. grain and soybean exports as it is. So they can handle a little bit more, but they can't take a lot of the U.S. Gulf volume. There's just no physical means to carry all that volume in the window that has got to move to get Pacific Northwest, and that's going to be a problem. The vessels, because a lot of ship owners position a lot of equipment in the U.S. Gulf, and they just are unable to move that equipment out to the Pacific Northwest. So this machine of grain movements and capacity and commodity flows is very well timed and very synced to the patterns of a supply chain that's very intricate. And when you get a snafu like this, boy, you can really see how devastating it can be and how sensitive our supply chain is.
I want to ask you about fertilizer, because fertilizer plays a role in this too, especially with the Mississippi River. I mean, we already have some complications with price and availability, so I'm sure this probably complicates things a little bit more. What are you hearing?
Yeah, Betsy, it does. And for those imports of fertilizer that would come to the United States, the United States bring in, it's going to be very difficult because, again, the U.S. Gulf handles such a large volume that would be put on a barge, it would be moved up river, and then that barge would be unloaded, in the Corn Belt area, and then that barge would be turned around and used for grain. And that's just going to be troubling on a couple of fronts. Farmers are going to struggle to have enough supply of fertilizer in the fall, and then the equipment that would be there for the downbound move of grain, you're just going to start to see pressure applied to the barge freight market if we don't see things loosened up here real quick.